Ephesians last year. I know it says crazy to say last year, but we started the book of Ephesians last year, and we took some time off during Christmas time, and we wanted to start this year off with prayer, and prayer emphasis. And so we've really been focusing on prayer for the first few Sundays, and I hope you got something out of that. If you miss it, go back and listen to them. Because a lot of times when we say prayer, like tonight's prayer night, I hope you can be here at prayer night. But sometimes, let's be honest, when you say prayer, some people will be like, I mean, just automatically, you say prayer and people go to sleep. I don't know what it is, but it's just, and so a lot of people, they have the struggle with prayer, right? Struggle is, you know, sometimes I don't pray and good things happen. And then sometimes I pray and they don't. And so I'm not sure what to do with this prayer thing. And so, and then sometimes we're like, I just don't even know how to pray. And I hope you saw through our series on prayer, it's about the relationship. It's about your relationship with the Lord. That's what all prayer is. And we have a template. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Find it in Luke chapter 11. It goes through and it shows you, it leads you. And you start off with our Father who art in heaven. Just right there. Right there. You can spend a lot of time right there. Because what is that? It's establishing who He is. But also He's establishing our position in the kingdom. Come on, we are sons and daughters of the King. And so that's recognizing right out the gate, recognizing who He is and who we are. And it goes on, hallowed be thy name. We talked about that word hallowed. I mean, it means a lot of things, but we boiled it down to two things. Is how beautiful, how mighty is He. Again, just establishing who He is. You see, it's about relationship. And if we start with the right heart attitude in our prayer, we start by recognizing who He is, who we are, and recognize all He has, we can say in all honesty, when we get to the part of the prayer, Lord, Your will, not mine. Because what happens is when we're praying, we have the right focus, we have the right heart, it changes what we ask for. And so when we get to that part, it's no longer all about us. About God, how can I do my part here on earth? How can I establish Your kingdom here on earth? How can I? And so I hope you saw that it's about relationship. It's about your relationship with the Lord. Don't overthink it. Don't make it complicated. Just treat it like a relationship, and that's prayer. And we're having prayer tonight. I hope you come. Like Pastor Mike said, we don't keep it long. And if you're seeing that hour mark, like, I can't pray for an hour. Trust me, you know, a lot of us can't pray for an hour. But what we do on Sunday nights is we throw out things we want you to pray for. So we'll say 10 minutes on this, 10 minutes on that, 10 minutes on that. And so it kind of keeps it moving, kind of keeps you more engaged. So come on out and help us pray. But today we're going back to Ephesians. I love Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, probably my favorite section of Scripture. There is, because I just love how Paul puts it out there. This is who we are. This is who He is. And He gives this thing called gift of grace. How amazing is that, right? And so anybody remember, it's been a while, but this show kind of really kicked off all the shows that we have today in this field. But anybody remember Extreme Home Makeover, like the home edition? You know, that they had that Ty Pennington, and he'd be out front, and it was all over, and it'd be that, move that bus, you know, and that kind of kicked off all these home improvement shows, but it'd be Ty Pennington. He had a crew of volunteers, he had professional contractors, he had designers, and they'd take this terrible house, and they turn it into something beautiful, right? There's normally a family involved, and you'd hear an inspiring backstory to the whole thing, and then the transformation began. That's what we're learning about today. This could be Extreme Makeover, but the Gospel Edition this morning. We're going to learn that the extreme transformation that Jesus brought into our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, what Paul does, he starts by telling us who we are in Christ, which is very powerful. What God's been doing since before the world began to bring us to Christ. He's had this master plan in. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's telling us about this and how God's power is seen through Christ. And then in chapter 2, Paul begins explaining that we're saved. We're saved by this great gift we call grace. In chapter 2, verse 4, my favorite all-time verse, right? Because it starts out by saying, man, we all have done this. We've all had times where we allowed our desires to get the best of us. We've all followed desires of our heart. But then you get to verse 4, it says, but God. Come on, that's got to be the best words ever. But God, who is rich, his mercy and love, he offers us this gift called grace. And now he brings us into, I mean, it's amazing what he does in chapter 2. And so now Paul takes us further down this path of God's work to explain the extreme makeover through the power of the gospel. And so, you know, if you ever watch the show and all the home improvement shows, it starts with a backstory, right? The backstory is knowing what's happened before the transformation starts. For that show, for Extreme Makeover, it's always something like they've got 12 kids, dad just lost a job, the pet hamster just died. I mean, it was one of those stories, right? That's the backstory. Well, for Paul, he wants to make sure the Ephesians are reminded what life was like for them before Jesus changed them. And so we're going to look at what it says, but it's amazing. Think this in mind. Keep this in mind. So we're talking Ephesians. So the church has not been established that long. But for some reason, Paul has to come to them and remind them of this. Remind them of their backstory. Remind them who they were. Right? And so let's look at it. Verse 11 to 13. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is now made in flesh by hands. So that verse 11 is totally confusing, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I don't even like mentioning in there, right? And I just don't like this verse. And so, but what they're saying, what you need to say is, first off, okay, we'll take a pause, time out. If you're ever doing devotions, you're ever doing Bible study, that very first word you should circle and highlight because that means something, right? So if you're ever doing that, you're reading the Bible and you come to a therefore, you need to stop and say, therefore what? So go back above that verse and find out what he's saying therefore about, because he's restating some of the stuff. So therefore, and so that's what you see, therefore remember, one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision. Again, that was a slander to call somebody the uncircumcision, right? And what was called the circumcision, because there's this fight between the Jews and the Gentiles, okay? And the whole covenant deal, we'll get into that a little bit in a second. Verse 12, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promises, having no hope and without God in the world. He's reminding them their backstory. This is your backstory. This is where you've been. This is where you came from. And so he's reminding them. He said, remember in verses 1 and 4, we talked about being dead in our sins, but God made them alive. Now Paul's giving a specific recounting of their past as it relates to God's promise and the Jewish people. Again, he's mainly talking to Gentiles here. And so Gentiles are what they called uncircumcision, and that's who he's talking about. Why does Paul care about this? And why would the Ephesians care about this? Well, again, they're pretty young. Christianity at this time has only been about 50 years old. And so at that time, also, Christianity was mainly viewed as a Jewish religion. After all, the God whom we serve is often referred to as what? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. All these are fathers of the Jewish faith. So Paul's pointing out Jewish people overlooked and looked down to the Gentile people. Remembering Gentile, what Gentile means is basically just non-Jews, right? They looked down on them. They treated them like dirty. They were unclean. You see a Gentile walking down the street, you cross over the other side of the street, you walk down there. If a Gentile's sitting in that chair, you're not sitting in that chair. I mean, that's how they treated them, right? And FYI, we're all Gentiles in here, I think. I don't know if any of my Jewish friends are in here or not, but we're all Gentiles. And so this is our backstory, essentially, is what you need to see and understand. And he says that the circumcised, or Jews, called the Gentiles uncircumcised. And remember that circumcision was a sign of God's covenant with the Jewish people. I know it gets a little crazy, but I'm just staying with me. And again, they looked down on them because they were God's people. The Gentiles were not. So basically, he's saying the Gentiles are not part of the covenant, but the Jews are. And so Paul, he's setting the stage to further help the Ephesians understand what it's like to be a part of the covenant of God and what it's like to have no hope. So Paul gives them five descriptors, essentially, for the non-Jewish heritage. All you Gentiles out here, this describes you and I without Christ, excluded from citizenship of Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promises, without hope, without God in the world. This is what Paul's saying. This describes who you used to be, you church at Ephesus. This is your backstory. And Paul doesn't say that their backstory, that's just fine and dandy. He doesn't say, I know that the Jewish people rejected Gentiles, but everything's really okay. You're good people. No. He said, you're hopeless. Don't you love Paul? He doesn't sugarcoat anything. You're hopeless. However, there's a very important phrase that starts with the word but. I don't know about you, but I get excited every time I see that word in the Bible. Because something good about to happen. Look at verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus. But now in Christ, everything has changed. But now, he's saying, this was your backstory. You were hopeless. You had no covenant. You had nothing. But now, in Christ, it changes everything. Paul even says in verse 13, you were far away. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were out there. Some of you were so far out there, we couldn't see you no more. He said, but now in Christ, he's brought you close. Now in Christ, you're part of everything. Now in Christ. Paul is pointing out that God did something amazing for the Gentiles. Not just the Jewish people. In fact, this moment, it was prophesied back in Genesis when God's talking to Abraham. He said in verse 2, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing God's redemption of the Gentiles. We're seeing this promise of Abraham being fulfilled in this. Again, all the people on earth are blessing through the line of Abraham. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ changed everything. You were far off, now you're close. Those who are far from God now been brought close to God. So it's important. It's important you remember your backstory. It's important you remember where you came from. Not only, you know, without hope, but without a Messiah, without a covenant with God. That describes every one of us. So we don't take this attitude of, oh, you know, I've been a Christian for so long, or I've been a part of the church, or I've got the 30-year Sunday school pin, which I actually have in my office. You can stop by and see it if you like. But it's not about propping ourselves up. Well, I'm a good person. I'm better than you are. Like, oh, Pastor, we don't, oh, baloney. Come on. We're just like these Ephesians, where God's saying today, hey, don't forget. Don't forget you were way out there. Now you're close because it's a gift of grace. And don't hold that up above somebody else and say, well, you know, I attend church. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Remember where you came. Remember, you were lost. You were helpless. But now in Christ, we've been brought near. How did all this happen? And so we get to the makeover part, right? We get in the video and the TV show, we get to the makeover part. And the extreme makeover, you always see the process of the makeover. Everybody comes together, creates this beautiful home. The gospel, there's only one person responsible for this transformation. Let's look at it in verses 14 to 18. For he himself is our peace. Is that, I mean, you can stop right there. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, what does our society want more than anything? Peace. I mean, especially today, there's so much division, there's so much unrest. Our world wants peace. We've got the answer. I mean, it's a promise right here. For he himself is our peace. He has made both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who are afar off, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So now Paul is focusing down on this ideal of peace, that through Jesus we have peace with God and peace with others. Paul says, he says, God made both groups one. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles making them one. He's talking about you and I, about making peace with those around us. The two were at odds with one another. The Jews and the Gentiles, the circumcised, uncircumcised, now they're brought together. He says, not only are two men, but one man. Paul says, they're no longer Jews and Gentiles. Instead, there's a new one. In the second description Paul uses, he says, see, he tore down the dividing wall of hostility. And so Paul's talking literally and metaphorically here. So literally, in the biblical times, you walk into the temple, the temple's grounds, the temple settings, the first place you'd walk into was for the Gentiles. And you think about this huge rectangle, right? You enter one end, and that's right when you step in, that's like the place for the Gentiles. And then there's literally a wall around this place. And there was a scripture on the wall that said, if any Gentiles cross, you're going to be killed. And the Roman government was okay with that. Like, okay. And so literally there's this, so imagine this stage here is a wall, right? Gentiles are there, Jews are here. And so there's literally a wall showing and reminding them, you're not as good as we are. We're here, you're there. We're a little closer to God than you are. I'm just saying. You know, I'm a little bit more spiritual than you are. You know, I've been here a while. I know the steps. I know when to raise my hand. I know when to kneel. I know church life. We got a lot of church carnies that they know how to play the game. What he's saying is, remember. What's funny to me in this picture, okay, Gentiles are there. There's this wall. Here's the Jews. What's funny to me is, in this process, the Jews couldn't get in. Like, only a select priest could get in. So they couldn't even get in. But yet they're bragging that they're a little closer than the Gentiles are. I'm like, how moronic is that? Yeah, we don't have access, but we're a little closer than you are. We're better than you because we're just a little bit, come on now. And so they're talking about taking down this wall. In verse 15, Paul is saying that Jesus took care of the law and commands. There's no longer this barrier. He said Jesus created in himself one new man from two, resulting in peace. He goes a little bit further to describe what a wonderful miracle this is. In verse 16, he says, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. Both the Jews and the Gentiles needed Jesus. We need to remind ourselves of that. Paul says in verse 17, Jesus came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far, and peace to you who are near. Far away and near, we all needed Jesus. Look at verse 18 again. Through Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. I mean, all of us have access to God through the Holy Spirit, through the working of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? All of us have access. But Paul says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, I love this. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Come on, we've heard that verse before, right? There is there now for no condemnation. How many times we bring the condemnation, though? Come on. I'm preaching a little hard this morning, but just stick with me. There's no condemnation, yet we bring the condemnation, don't we? Somebody walks in that doesn't look like us, doesn't dress like us, maybe doesn't talk like us. We bring the condemnation, don't we? Like, well, you know, you really need to, before you can, you know. What we do in the process is we put up this wall and say, we're here, you're there, you need to straighten all this mess up before you come over here. But yet the way I read it says there is no condemnation. If he doesn't have condemnation, why are we bringing the condemnation to the situation? Well, I don't do that, Pastor. Baloney. We're human. We all do that. Somebody walks in here cussing like a sailor. Like, whoa, this is God's house. You can't do that in God's house. Like, come on. I'm not saying to do it. I'm just saying, what if that's how they grew up? I don't think you're going to offend God. Why? Because we want to help them come near. We start building these walls. We start saying, whoa, whoa, you can't say that here. You can't dress like that. You can't smell like that. We start building this little wall up here. It's like, well, we're here, you're there. And we're totally trashing this verse. Because the way I read it, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For a law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus, free from the law. This is what Paul is telling the Ephesians right here. Like, how did you guys forget where you came from? You were the ones way out there. You're the ones that didn't know how to act, didn't know how to dress, didn't know how to talk. Didn't know how to eat the right foods. Actually, they knew how to eat the right foods. The Jews didn't know how to eat bacon, so that's another story. So it's just like, you didn't know. How did you get Christ, and then now you start condemning people? Don't build the wall back up. Christ tore it down. Let's stay there. There's power in Jesus. There's power in the gospel. For through him, we all have access to one Spirit, to the Father. Finally, the best part of the show, the reveal, right? You can't wait till he's standing in front of that bus. Move that bus! You know, that's his best part. You get to see this house, and it was just amazing, of course. Well, here's the reveal in verses 19 to 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Because of the work of Jesus, Ephesians, who are Gentiles, foreigners, strangers, uncircumcised. What does it say? It says, now you're fellow citizens. Now you're saints. Now you're members of the household of God. I mean, how awesome is that? They had no hope. They had no covenant. They had no promises. That was for them. But now they do. Now they have hope. I mean, that changes that. Jesus changed everything for them. He changed everything for you and I if we accepted him as our Savior. We're one in Jesus. And then Paul shifts his metaphor from speaking of a building. Paul says that this household is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. All of God's messengers, they were preparing a foundation for this moment. They're building something that they could bear the weight of the miracle that God was going to do and to bring to all types of people through Jesus Christ. All the promises to Abraham would stand tall on this foundation. Of course, the most important ingredient of the foundation was Jesus. Paul said Jesus Christ himself was a cornerstone. He holds everything up. I mean, he's a foreman, he's a cornerstone, he's a capstone, he's a cross member, he's a 100-year warranty. And Paul tells us what kind of building this is. In verse 21, it says, we see we are a holy temple in the Lord. So again, they knew, the Ephesians knew what a temple looked like. They knew the temple layout. They knew that they didn't have access. They knew all this about a physical temple. And Paul's saying, hang on, you get a shift your thinking. We're talking about you and I as a temple. The Old Testament dwelling place was God, it was that physical temple. But now Jesus is building this new temple. He's calling it the church. It's full of people. Paul says in 22, he says, in him you're also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. See, he's not building a building, he's building a people. Redeemed, united by the work of Jesus Christ. I mean, what a miracle. We're brought together as fellow citizens and fellow members of God's house to work together to accomplish what Christ started. This is the Extreme Makeover Gospel Edition. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is telling us who Jesus is, what God's done through him, and how the church is affected by what Jesus has done. In this passage, we see Jesus redeems all types of people. All types of people. There's no disqualifications of what kind of people he's called. All types of people. And what is the picture of Paul seeing this? All types of people, brick by brick, are being built up to represent the temple of God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Everybody qualifies if you call upon the name of the Lord. The bottom line is God is beautifully building us for his glory and for our good. Again, the message throughout the book of Ephesians, God has a great plan to redeem sinners from sin, adopt his own children, build them into a beautiful church. Here's how I want the worship team to come on up. I need to stop. Jew, Gentile, we're now one in Christ. He says that verse, he took two men, he made one. He brought peace. He united these cultures together. Why? Because both of them were far off. And both of them came near. And so I want to leave you some practical application for this message. I actually got homework for you this week. And there's two homeworks I got for you. Is first, thank Jesus for bringing you near. Thank Jesus for bringing you near. Be like Paul's talking to Ephesians. Don't forget. Don't forget your backstory. Don't forget you're way out there. Don't forget you made some huge mistakes. Don't forget you took some crazy paths. Don't forget you used to be on the outside. But now you're near. Now you have access to everything. Don't forget. I think if we commit to every day thanking Jesus for bringing us near, it puts us in the right thinking when we interact with people who are not near. If we came with thankful heart, thanking him for bringing us, next time we're tempted to build that wall, we're like, no, I ain't building that wall because I used to be over there. I used to be way over there. But because of Jesus, I'm here. And so I'm going to begin every day thanking Jesus for bringing me near. Remember that verse 13, but now in Christ, excuse me, that's it for every one of us. But now in Christ, Jesus, you were once far off and been brought near by the blood of Christ. You're once dead. Now you're alive. You're once alienated. And now you're adopted. There was this wall of hostility between the Jews and Gentiles. Now those who trust in Christ are one people, united. So that's your first homework assignment. Thank Jesus for bringing you here. Here's your second homework assignment. Bring others near. Bring others near to Jesus. Fact is, Jesus is still tearing down some walls. Maybe there's some walls in your life you need to tear down. He's still tearing down walls. He's still about bringing children into his family. He still wants those who are far to be near. And so what are we going to do about this? We're going to tell our story. I'm going to tell a story how I used to be way out there and Jesus brought me near. I want to tell a story how I made some stupid choices in my life, but Jesus brought me near. I'm going to encourage my friends, my coworkers, my families. Hey, come near. I got something to show you. I got something to tell you. I want to tell you how this man changed my life. I want to tell you how this man changed my relationship. I want to tell you how this man changed my marriage. I want to tell you how this man healed me. So you start on a mission of bringing those far near. Let me tell you, those far, they may think different than you. They may talk different than you. They may act different than you. They may dress different than you. They may smell different than you. But guess what? They're far. They need to be near. And that's our mission. That's our job. That's our call. To bring those close. Won't you stand with me this morning? The question this morning, are you part of the holy temple that God is building through His church? I mean, each little brick in God's building represents one of His followers. Are you part of that building? Are you participating in making that temple? Are you participating in going after those ones who are far off? Or are you building a wall and saying, oh, they're not like me. I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want their cooties to rub off of me. I'm just going to build my wall. Not the gospel message. Are you participating in making that temple? Are you participating in bringing those far near? Maybe you're here this morning. You need to recommit yourself to be a holy and unifying part of the temple of God. I want to invite you to do that. Also, you've never been brought near to God. I want to invite you to do that. If you consider yourself still in the outskirts, if you're far off from God, can I just remind you this morning that there's no disqualifiers. The scripture clearly says anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call upon the name of the Lord, that changes the whole prayer, the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Because no longer are you way out there and say, hey, Lord, I don't know if you're listening or not. But if you call upon the name of the Lord this morning, you get to come and you can say, our Father, my Father, who has adopted me. Now I'm a son or I'm a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was way out there, but now I'm a member. I'm a family member. I belong. Please, this morning, take these two assignments very, very serious. Thank the Lord for bringing you near. Make it a pattern in your prayer life. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me near. Thank you, Lord, for adopting me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your righteousness. Thank you, Lord. But don't ever get like the Ephesians and get so comfortable where you're at that you start building this wall up. Because the next assignment is, this is important. Go after those who are way out there. Go after those who are far. Go after those who don't know yet. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Dearly Father, Lord, we pray this morning. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here who's still far away, Lord, I pray that they would accept you this morning. Lord, it's simply as calling upon the name of the Lord. It's simply saying, I admit I need a Savior this morning. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here this morning, they would call on your name this morning. And they would change the status from far off to near in an instant. In an instant by calling upon the name of the Lord. Admitting they cannot do it alone. By admitting they're not good enough. By admitting they never could be good enough. They need a Savior. So if you're in this place this morning, just submit to Him this morning. Right where you're at. Just submit to Him this morning. You need a Savior. submit to Him. You want to start a relationship with Him. You want to be called a son and daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray this morning that You soften the hearts. Let them respond this morning to Your word. Lord, I pray for everyone in here this morning, God, that You would create a heart of thanksgiving in us, Lord. A heart of thanksgiving where we remember where You brought us from. We remember our time in the world. We remember our time following our own desires, our own mind. We never forget. And so we create a thankful heart that we share with others around us. Because You called us. You called us, Lord, to bring those that are far near. So, Lord, I pray we take that assignment to heart. And we go on mission from this place. In Your precious holy name we pray. Amen, amen. The Lord bless you. The altars are open. If you like prayer, we'd love to pray with you.
Feel